Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Jerks, One Vote. Chumpy and I are not judging this round, but we're here today with our reviews for Spintoons 25 Round 2, the Something Borrowed, Something Bold round, where the challenge was to make prominent and creative use of secondary dominant chords. If you are listening to this podcast and, at first glance, you don't know what secondary dominant chords are in the context of songwriting, then that means you did not participate in Spintoons Round 2, and welcome to Two Jerks, One Vote. But what on earth are you listening to us for? I mean, what could have possibly brought you here? Regardless, I hope that you enjoy it. But I don't think we're going to re-explain secondary dominant chords because Micah already did it very well and very thoroughly in his YouTube video. Suffice to say, as written in the challenge post, a secondary dominant chord is a major chord or a dominant seventh chord borrowed from outside the key of your song, which resolves to or is followed by a chord within your key whose root is a perfect fifth below. Now, having said that, I don't want to completely shut this down. If you want to talk about it, Chumpy, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it, the effect it had on individual songs as we go through our reviews. But do you have any comments about the nuts and bolts of the challenge?
Well, just that it's very difficult for judges to simply by ear determine if someone has or hasn't successfully met the challenge. And I'm also not wild about the wording prominent and creative because that leaves a lot of room for interpretation. So I feel like when the challenge is this difficult to judge and it is this widely interpretable, that it's really not much of a challenge at all. And I don't think any artist is going to get dinged on the challenge for this one. It's more of a creative prompt to help you sort of grow as a songwriter. And I appreciate it from that aspect. And I feel like a lot of folks learn something useful about music theory because of it.
The thought that there might be one or more judges sitting down and mapping these songs out and trying to figure out what chords are being played where and when and whether or not they meet the challenge is just, it makes me want to never, ever judge again. And I was already there. So
in Spintoons 13, I remember there was a judge who analyzed the chord progressions of every song and said, oh, that's an interesting movement using the flat major 7 in your song. And I was like, I did that? Oh, yeah, I guess I did that. Yeah. It's like they had a deeper understanding of the harmonic movements of my song than I did, and I was kind of intimidated by that.
Yeah, and it's also maybe not particularly helpful if you're listening to music for not that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this forced competitors to have more interesting chord progressions than they might otherwise do, and I like that. But if I were a judge, I think I'd push back against this idea for a challenge since it seems prescriptive in a way that I'm not all that comfortable with. Like, I realize any challenge or prompt is naturally going to influence and affect the compositions, you know, obviously. I mean, that's this sort of the whole thing. But forcing them to use this specific pattern seems more like intrusive than usual. Having said that, it worked out pretty great as far as the submissions are concerned. So I'm not going to complain. I'm just thinking, like, it's a lot to put on a song to say your chord progression has to go like this.
Yeah, it's an interesting experiment. And I think in this case, it actually worked. And maybe we'll see more theory-based challenges in the future as a result.
Well, any comments on the previous round?
No, okay. Not really. Okay. Weren't there about a similar number of songs? I feel like this round I expected the number of songs to dwindle significantly, and that just did not happen.
Yeah, there are like 3 or 4 fewer songs in this round. So this is going to be another marathon.
Yeah, strap in for the next 3 hours, folks.
Exactly. I'm going to get my mind out of the territory. I'm going to not say any ums, so this is going to be easy to edit. Yeah, get those out of the way. Did you feel weird about the judging? I mean, like, I love the heat map of the judging that shows up and where, like, at the bottom it's red for the ones that are sent home, and at the top it's green for the ones who get the best things. And it's kind of weird to see, like, those little bumps of green among the deep red and the little bumps of orange up among the green. And that means that there's songs that inspire judges in polarizing ways. And it must be infuriating to the competitors. But, you know, after our several stabs at judging over the years, I'm pretty confident that it's all organic. Like, I doubt that, like, Joy put Nathan Jo Long in her top five just to be weird. And I doubt that Nancy ranked Bob Voig in the bottom five due to any personal resentments. There's always outliers. And for the most part, I trust the judges. But there seem to be some noticeable ones this time around.
Yeah, you can really tell which songs are polarizing based on the color shifts and the heat map. And I think that's a cool innovation that Micah did this time around.
Well, speaking of polarizing.
Yes.
Let's drag our guest into the conversation. Joining us today is Seabass. He's an artist who has been spin-tunesing since Spintunes 20 and who has made a real name for himself, or several names for himself, really. He was a judge for Spintunes 22, and he very nearly won Spintunes 23 round one. He is also a big Falmer, or, you know, February album writing month, and he has a lot of that music on SoundCloud. And everybody should go check that out at soundcloud.com/Josh-Siegel-3. Siegel is S-I-E-G-E-L, and 3 is the number, not spelled out. You can also check out a lot more music on Bandcamp and links at his website at seabassmusic.com. And that's S-I-E-B-A-S-S music, all one word. Seabass is also in the Vico cycle, and you can find that on Spotify. He has an alter ego named Dad Bod Rad Bod, and some of that is on Bandcamp. And Spintunesers will also know him from his band Definitely Not Secretly Glenny in what I think was a historic run of songs throughout Spintunes 23. So welcome to Two Jerks, One Vote, Seabass. Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Seabass?
You got it. You got it right. That's my name used to be Siegel, and it was the only nickname that I ever really liked for my last name was Seabass, like kick his ass Seabass. But, you know, my last name is now Helfensiegel, as you'll find out there. So, you know, when I got married, I decided I didn't want to do the hyphen, went the whole way and changed the name. Put your money where your mouth is, as they say.
Nice. And it's mixed capitals, too.
It is. It is mixed case. So
I love that.
It sounds foreign. And people are like, are you German? And I was like, 9.
I listened to some of your FOM stuff on SoundCloud, and holy moly, You'll Never Break It Again might be the best FOM song I've ever heard. That beginning fake out is so good.
Yeah.
And then the song itself, it's just wonderful, and I loved it. And I don't say that about a lot of FOM stuff that I listen to.
No, that's fair. FOM is like write fast and break things, basically, of music. So it's like best take, you know. But I worked way harder on that one. The progression is the same as Creep from Radiohead, but that progression's not that many places. And I just like it a lot. I just really like that progression a lot. That SoundCloud stuff is a lot of the weird stuff. So you'll find all my weird stuff on SoundCloud, too, because of FOM. You know, you just best idea. You got 2 days to write a song every time. Go, go, go. So.
As far as Spintunes goes, early on you had the bits, you know, like the skits and such. You made such a huge mark with that first Weather medley and then just sort of like kept doing that kind of stuff. And it's just so, you know, it's so flattering and fun and funny. And I hope everybody thought it was flattering, but it seemed like such a project too.
I'm sure you guys get it. I mean, you spend a lot of time editing this for all of us to listen to, you know. It's one of those things where it's like, well, who is your audience? You know, it's like, I used to try to write music for this mythical audience that wanted things in a certain way, but I don't have an audience. So who am I going to write music for? I'm going to write music for me. I'm going to write music for me and for the people that are going to actually listen to it, which is, you know, the 6 people on the podcast and some other people in Spintunes and, you know, a couple people on SoundCloud. So, you know, why am I writing these songs? And this is one, like, I respect Jim of Seattle a lot. I really like his snorkeling song a lot. It's one of my favorite songs. I play it with my kids. But there was something that he said in one of his reviews about like some metaphorical audience. And it's like, if he knows who his audience is, that is great. But like for me, it's like the audience is me and the people that I think is funny and the things that I think I'm going to be funny, because at least then if I get eliminated with the polarizing song in the first round, I won't be so sad about it.
if
yes.
It's a labor of love. You know, it's great that a lot of people posted their chord progressions for this round, so it should be really easy for me to do post-hardcore, post-punk sort of versions of some of these power ballads, so that'll be fun.
Oh, is that in the Google Doc?
It's in the Google Doc, and it's also in the lyrics section, but there's some stuff in the Google Doc that didn't make it into the Bandcamp lyrics, so I always look at both.
Yeah, I saw the Google Doc during the listening party and then lost it, and I wasn't able to refind it. So if there's a bunch of song bio stuff, my reviews are going to be missing that, which is a bummer.
Well, I'll just sound smart when I read from the song bio, so that'll be great.
Say, well, Ryan, if you'd done your homework, you would realize that.
Yeah. I thought the song bios were actually pretty sparse, other than the progressions in this particular one, because I did go looking for ones where I thought I understood most of the lyrics and I thought I understood most of what it was about to try to sort of tease out a coherent narrative and see if there was one, and I just missed it, and or if there was something I was missing that would give me that little bit more from the bios. And I don't know how you felt about it, Chumpy, but I didn't feel like I saw that much more in the bio than what was in the lyrics.
Just little snatches of things here and there, so... I have mixed feelings about song bios, so sometimes I feel like it's worthwhile and I'll gain some new insight that makes me appreciate the song, and sometimes it works not in their favor. I'm like, oh, yeah. I liked my interpretation better, honestly.
Yeah, it depends on the nature of the challenge, right? So if it's one where you really need to be specific, it can help to have that bio where it's like, for example, those chord progressions are really all you need, and then hopefully the song comes across in the lyrics, but when it doesn't, it would have been nice. But also there's those sort of Wikipedia songs, those sort of historical ones. You're like, oh, I'm going to read about, you know, the Monongah mines and learn about what this disaster was today.
Or what this Japanese word that I don't know means.
I looked it up.
Did you look up how to pronounce it, Josh?
It's Motennai. I'm taking Duo Japanese, so I at least recognize this. They've got all the same phonemes for their whole alphabet, but lots and lots of different characters that represent them. So, and it means what a waste.
Excellent. Well, we'll let you read off that one.
Yeah.
One thing I don't know if we should comment on or not is some folks that I spoke to said it might look weird that we invited a contestant onto the podcast.
I'm eliminated.
Yeah.
No trouble.
Mid-contest. Yeah. And we're not judging anyway, and we're not ranking, so it shouldn't matter anyway. And we wanted to have you on the podcast because you've really connected with his community and you've made quite a splash. So I'm glad that you could join us.
No, I really wanted to do it. I love listening, so I like to be able to contribute to my own little corner of jerkdom on whatever capacity is possible.
Well, Ryan, should we launch into it? You ready?
Yeah, sure. All right. Okay, let's get started